Now, good evening. It's good to see each one of you out tonight. I want to remind you not only of the meeting at the West Side, but Sunday night we go back to a regular schedule here at 7 o'clock Sunday night for the preaching of the gospel. So we want to remind you of that. I'm going to read some verses in the 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And verse number 3. Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. People know the gospel in the sense that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. But they're blind, still blind to the gospel. I suppose there was a very young age in my life when I heard about Jesus dying on the cross for sinners and rising again the third day. And I believed that, but I wasn't saved. I was still blind to the gospel because I didn't understand how to get the benefits of it, to get in on it. And the devil will never blind your minds to the fact that Christ died on the cross and was buried and rose again. But he'll blind your minds to how to get in on the gospel. How to get the benefits of the gospel. That's what the next verse says. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the devil's business is to blind the minds of people in connection with the gospel. He'll do everything in his power to hinder people from seeing and understanding what they have to do to get the benefit of the gospel. Now, I don't suppose there's any so-called Christian religion in the world about what they believe, basically, that Christ died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day. But most of them say you've got to be this or that or something else to get the benefits of it. They're blind to how to get the good of the gospel, how to get the benefits of the sacrifice and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Now, what I'm going to do tonight for a little while, I'm going to read you three portions about Jesus passing by blind people. One is in John's Gospel, chapter number 9. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to tell you too much the account of it, the context of it. John chapter 9, and verse number 1, we read this. And whether you know it or not, Jesus passed by this man physically speaking. But Jesus is omnipresent. That means his presence is everywhere. He's here tonight. You can't see him with your eyes. He's everywhere. David said, if I go down and take the wings of a dove and go across the sea, he's there. If I go down in the heart of the earth to a place called Sheol, he's there. He said, whither can I flee from the presence of the Lord? And Jesus is the Lord of glory. He's the Son of the eternal God. He's omnipresent. That means his presence is everywhere at the same time. He could say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We can't see him with our eyes, but he's here. Jesus is passing by tonight, just the same as he passed by here. Now notice in John chapter 9, and verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. This man was physically blind. The Lord gave him his sight, as the story goes on, and he believed on the Lord, and the Lord gave him his sight. Now you look at Jesus passing by another man in Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18, this is a blind man sitting by the wayside begging. In verse 35, We read that it came to pass that as Jesus was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing a multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So here's Jesus passing by a blind man, and John not giving him sight. Here's Jesus passing by another blind man. Now, chapter 19, we read Jesus passing by again. Chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke, and verse number 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that was a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. For if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. So I read you about three people that Jesus passed by. Two of them were blind. This little fellow, Zacchaeus, was up in a tree. So the business of Satan is to blindfold the minds of people so they do not understand the gospel. He's doing an excellent job at it. We see a lot of this firsthand by visiting people and talking to them about the Lord and talking to them about how they can be saved. Now, there's two ways you can see. I read you about two men that were physically blind. But there's other ways you can be blind, too. Quite often, I'm sure we've all had the experience of not understanding something, and then somebody will explain it very clearly to us, and we say, oh, yeah, I see what you mean. We don't see with these eyes. We understand with their minds. And the business of the devil is to blindfold the minds of people so they don't get the benefits out of the gospel. They might know the gospel and the sense of the letter of the gospel, but they do not understand how to get the benefits of that gospel. The first man was blind, and the Lord opened his eyes. And that's what the Lord Jesus came into the world for. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says this, that he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He's the one that came to give light. He can say that in John 3 and verse 19 it says this, that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light. That light is the Lord Jesus. He said later in John chapter 9, where I read, he said, I am the light of the world. Now he meant that he came to give understanding. He came to take that blindfold off the minds of people so that they could see the need of Christ and how to get in on the benefits of the gospel. And that is what people just do not seem to understand. Paul was commissioned and as an apostle to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18 to open the eyes of those people and turn them from darkness to light. He went out among a Gentile world, and his purpose was to open their eyes, not physically, but open the eyes of their understanding that they might be saved. When you see the parable of the sower of the seed and the four different types of soil, the first ones understood it not. And the last ones, the good ground soil, those are those that received the words and understood it. Their eyes were open, they could understand. And you'll never be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you'll never be saved until your eyes are opened. And the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God and the Word of God is what opens your eyes. Psalm 119:136. The entrance of thy word, that's this book, give us light. It give us understanding to the simple, to those that do not understand. So, it's the understanding. Jesus spoke of religious people in his day as being blind leaders of the blind. We have a lot of them today. And I don't want to appear critical, but facts are facts. And as somebody as well said, there's nothing more loving than telling people the truth. You tell somebody they're going to die in their sins and go to hell, you're not judging them. That's the kindest thing you could ever tell a poor lost sinner. Because they are going to hell, and that's the truth. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never come to Him as a repenting sinner and fell, as it were, helpless before the cross of Christ and put your trust in that Savior, there is no way out. God says you're doomed. You're going to perish in your sins. And that's the truth. So it's not criticism. It's facts. And that's what opens your eyes, facing the facts. So here's a man, the first man, had his eyes open. And that's what you've got to be tonight if you're here and you're not saved. That's what you've got to have your eyes open. Blind leaders of the blind. There are people that will tell us that you can be saved by the sacraments. The sacraments, of course, most of them are seven in some of the church systems. Seven different sacraments, start out with baptism and, I don't know, confirmation and so on, ends up with the last rites. And they tell us that's the way to be saved. Blind leaders of the blind. There is an absolute, in fact, the word sacraments not even mentioned in the Bible. The word sacrament comes from a root Latin word that means an oath. And it had to do with a soldier in the Roman army taking an oath when he went in the army. There's a couple of ordinances for Christians, but not for unsaved people in the Bible. There are people that will lead you on into the blindness of the gospel and tell you, yes, Christ died on the cross for sinners, he was buried and rose again, but you've got to be baptized to get your sins washed away. So they baptize little babies and some baptize older people, and they say that washes away your sins. The Bible says without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. Water cannot take away your sins. The wages of sin is death. And the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary to wash away your sins. You're blind to the gospel if you think baptism is going to wash away your sins. Then there are others that believe and teach that the law will save you. I remember one time many years ago we were in town giving out tracts and we went into a shopping mall and Jim Conrad was with me. He won't mind me mentioning his name. He was with me and he met this guy with his collar on backwards and he cast him a tract and said, do you know the way to heaven? And the guy said, keep the law. And he kept on going. Never even stopped. Blind leader of the blind. Leading people down a garden path to hell. To tell people they can keep the law. And the Bible says that the law proves that the whole world is guilty before God. It says you've offended in one point, you're guilty of it all. Blind leaders of the blind. Then there are those that tell us they're doing the best they can to get to heaven. Another blindfold of the devil. You could not do anything good enough to ever get into heaven. Nobody deserves heaven. Nobody deserves to go there. We deserve to pay for our own sins and a lost eternity. Blind leaders of the blind, doing the best you can. Good works. I live a good life. We ask people if they're going to heaven. Yes, I'm going to heaven. What's your basis? What do you think is going to get you there? Well, I live a good life. I'm kind to my neighbor and I pay my bills and do this and that, something else. That'll never get you to heaven. You're blind to the gospel. You need the word of God to open up your understanding to see that you're a sinner, lost in your sins, on the way to hell. And you need a Savior to save you from your sins. Now, this man's eyes were open. I hope your eyes get open a little bit tonight. The next man we read about, he was still blind, but he needed something. Blind Bartimaeus, in chapter 18 of the Gospel of Luke. So this is what he said. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he's passing by you tonight. And Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's what the sinner needs. You don't present yourself to God as a good person and say, Lord, I'm good enough. Save me. You need the mercy of God. Mercy is God holding back the judgment that we rightly deserve. This man knew exactly what he needed. Blind as he was, he knew what he needed. He needed mercy. And he got mercy that day. He got his sight. He got mercy that day. And that's the first thing a poor lost sinner needs to get into heaven. The rich man in hell in Luke chapter 16 knew exactly what his brethren needed, his five brethren needed not to come to that place of torment. He said, send Lazarus and tell him to repent. And the first thing he cried out for was mercy in hell. But there's no mercy in hell. Your eyes will be opened. It's amazing that in Luke chapter 16 and verse 23, it says, when the rich man died and was buried and went to hell, then his eyes were open. He could see very clearly then, but it was too late. The first thing he cried for was what a poor sinner needs. Mercy. Mercy. And the wonderful thing is that God has mercy for sinners. But your eyes have got to be open to realize that. Two men went up to the temple to pray one day. One was a Pharisee, praying his own goodness. Said, I'm not like other men. I've done this and I've done that and I fast twice in the week and I give a tenth of all that I possess. And the other man fell on his face and wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what a sinner needs. You don't get into heaven by baptism and good works or church membership or doing good things. That's all right in itself, but it won't get you into heaven. I hear people tell me, you mean to my old grandmother, and she was the kindest old lady and she never hurt anybody in her life, and you mean she died and went to hell? I don't know whether your grandmother went to hell or not, but I'll tell you this, if your grandmother never trusted Christ as her Savior, she never went to heaven. I don't know. But I do know this, that there's only one way to heaven and only one door to heaven. It's through Jesus. It's not through baptism. It's not through sacraments. It's not through religion. It's not through good works. It's not by works of righteousness that he saved us, but it's according to his mercy. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. That's what you need. But your eyes have to be opened to realize that you need that mercy. I know everybody wants to be saved, but I want to be saved the first thing. I started cleaning up my life. I thought, if I want to be a Christian, I'm going to make myself acceptable to God. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You can't be saved that way, making yourself good, lifting yourself up. That's what the Pharisee did. That's what religious people do. That's what the world is doing. So the first man had his eyes opened, and he could see. And this is what he said. He said, I don't know much, but I know one thing. Once I was blind, but now I can see. And I can say that too. And if you're here tonight, you can say that too. And if you're here tonight and you can't say that, I hope you'll be able to say it before you leave. So the first, Jesus passing by the first blind man opened his eyes. And he could see. Jesus passing by the second blind man. He needed mercy. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus gave him. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He's passing by here tonight. And he wants to open your eyes to your sin and your need. And he wants to open your eyes that he has mercy for you. In fact, in Ephesians 2 and verse 5, it says he's rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. God doesn't want to judge anybody. God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11 says, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And God takes no pleasure in sinners going to hell. He wants them all in heaven. He wants you in heaven. But you're never going to get there if you close your eyes to the truth of the gospel and let the God of this world blindfold your mind to your sin and need, and to the mercy that God has for you. God has mercy for you. Now the third man, little Zacchaeus, he wasn't blind, but Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. What did that man get? Well, he got salvation that day. I don't know, I see a little picture here. Here's a little man, he wanted to see Jesus. And I'll tell you, when you get your eyes open, and you see your sin and need, and you see that God is merciful, you want to see Jesus. You want to get to Christ. You'll never get to Christ until you get your eyes open and see your need of the mercy of God. You'll never get to Christ. This little man thought the way to see Jesus was to climb up in a tree. That's not the way to see Jesus. It's getting down. And the Lord Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, look up in that tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you hurry up and you come down from that tree. Spurgeon once said, the way up is the way down. In order to go to heaven, you got to go down at the foot of the cross. The only way to get there. You got to see yourself as a sinner for whom Jesus died. You got to see that the mercy, the fountain of mercy only flows from the place called Calvary. You'll never see that. You'll never be saved. Let the devil blind your mind. Think you got a hope. Apart from Christ, when there is no hope, there is absolutely no hope. And everybody has hope. I've knocked on a few doors in over 50 years, and I never met a person yet that ever hoped they were going to hell. They all hope they're going to heaven. That's a hopeless hope. And here's a little man come down from a tree, and he received the Lord Jesus joyfully, and Jesus said, salvation came to this man that day. He repented, and he accepted Jesus. Come down and accepted him joyfully. That's the way to be saved. That's the way to be saved. The Bible puts it this way, repent and believe the gospel. Repentance is how you get in on the mercy of God. And believing is how you get the gift of eternal life. That's why Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the grace side, that's the faith side, that's the life side. The gift of God is eternal life. And Titus says it's not according to our works that we're saved, but it's according to his mercy. That's the mercy side. You repent to get mercy and forgiveness. You believe to get salvation. You get the gift of eternal life. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. In Luke chapter 10, there's another scene where Jesus was passing along. And in that, the account of the so-called Good Samaritan. And there was a man that was wounded in the ditch. And it says, by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Here are two people that passed by on the other side. Now the Levite was the teacher of the law. And listen, if you're a sinner, and you're lost to God, and you're blind, and the law, the man with the law, can't come along and give you sight. The law can't save you. You can try to keep the law all your life. You'll never get to heaven keeping the law. And the priest, rather, is the man that handled the law. And the Levite was the man that handled the ritual of the religion of the day. Those are two things that people think is going to get them into heaven. Trying to keep the law the best I can, and being religious, being religious. It's sad when you see the blindness of people. You knock on the door and you say, are you saved? No, I'm not saved. What do you got to do to be saved? Well, I got to go to church. Now, where in the Bible do you ever read you got to go to church to be saved? We tell people you got to go to Christ to be saved. You got to go to the cross to be saved. That's where it said, that's where salvation was provided. You might get it at the church, you can get it anywhere. I think I told the story the other night where the man that was saved up on a ladder shingling a house. He got saved. Remember another one in St. John, New Brunswick? A lady left the meetings and went down to the lakes, and she said, when I come to the lakes, they were red, and before they turned green, I was saved. That's the quickly fact. You can be saved in a moment. Salvation is instant. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He wants to open your eyes and show you your sin and need. He has mercy for you. He opened it. The man cried for mercy. He got it. And little Zacchaeus come down from the tree, and he got God's salvation that day. You can have that. It's for you. And it works. Not just for eternity. It's for time as well. So do put your trust in the Savior.